All right, so I want to thank everybody for coming out today. I know the weather is less than favorable. It's kind of one of those, like, we went from the best possible weather over the past few days to now, like, this really depressing, kind of miserable stuff. So thank you, everybody, for coming out, waking up early on a Sunday and coming out this morning. I'm super grateful for the opportunity. Anytime I get to preach, that's what I love to do. So I'm super grateful for the opportunity. This is a message that I originally did in youth group a few weeks back. So to all the Narrowgate youth, you got to suffer through it again. I'm sorry, but it won't hurt you that bad. But this is a message that God really, if anything else, he spoke to me through it when I was preparing it and when I got to preach it to the youth. So that's where we're going to be today. Let's go ahead and open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll go ahead and dive right in and get started. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this awesome church. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. I lift up to you our pastor and his family as they're traveling. Give them a blessed Sunday today. Help me as I preach. Do it in your strength and not mine, God, for your glory and not for mine. Strengthen me and help me. Help us all today to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys got your Bibles. Go ahead and turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations, chapter 3 and verse 23. Not a super familiar book that we go to all the time, but this verse is certainly one that we've heard before. As you're turning there, I'm sure most of you are aware that today is kind of a special day in the world and in our country. Today is Super Bowl Sunday, right? And this Super Bowl in particular is kind of, it's a little bit different. Why is that? Well, that's because the Bengals are playing in the Super Bowl. For those of you that don't follow sports, right, the Bengals historically have been like the most mediocre, irrelevant franchise in the NFL for a really long time. They've never really been necessarily like just awfully bad, but they've never been like good either. They're just really mediocre, really just really like just kind of a relevant, bad franchise, right? But this year, they finally made it to the Super Bowl. And that's kind of an incredible thing. And if you think about a team like that, right, that consistently for so many years was really just so bad and so irrelevant, had really nothing going for them until this year, right? But I can guarantee you, of all those bad seasons that they've had, guess what? I can almost guarantee you there was probably still a waiting list to get season tickets for those seats in that stadium, right? In Cincinnati, Ohio, in November, right? People could always sit in 20-degree weather and watch a horrible football team play. Why? Because they're faithful fans, right? They'll go and watch a losing team, spend a bunch of money, and go watch a losing team play in cold weather. Why? Because they're faithful fans. Even around here, we can localize it, right? And in the Charlottesville area, UVA football, historically, ever since I've been growing up, has been, for the most part, pretty pathetic, right? And they're kind of like a running joke, right? They're not that good. And they're on the, I guess they're trending upward, I don't even know anymore. But you still go to Scott Stadium on a Saturday, and no, it's not full, but there is a decent amount of people there, right? Why? Because they're faithful fans. And that idea of being so faithful to someone who really doesn't deserve it, right? That's that idea of sports can kind of help us understand. It's a silly way, but it does kind of help us understand. It helps me understand the faithfulness of our God, right? Because do we deserve his faithfulness? No, absolutely not. But yet God, in his faithfulness, is always going to remain faithful to us. You find yourself in Lamentations chapter 3, starting in verse 23. It's a verse that probably we've heard, probably one of the only verses from this book that we ever read. It says, in Lamentations 3:23, it says, "Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." Today we're going to see from Scripture three areas of God's faithfulness in our lives. We're going to see, first of all, he's faithful during our trials. We're going to see that he's been faithful during our past. And lastly, we're going to see that he's faithful in his forgiveness to us. The title of the message is pretty straightforward. It's just God's faithfulness. It's point blank. That's what we're talking about today. So we're here in Lamentations. This verse clearly states to us how faithful God is. This verse was written in the midst of God's judgment on Jerusalem. So because of the city of Jerusalem, their sin, because of God's people, his chosen people, Israel, because of their sin, God had to punish them. God doesn't tolerate sin, so he had to send punishment on his own people that he loved. And he did this by sending Babylon. Babylon came, and they destroyed Jerusalem. They ransacked the city, burned it down, took captives. They destroyed the city. And the book of Lamentations is the author, this unknown author, he's lamenting what has happened to his beloved city. Right? It would be like if somebody came to Fork Union or Palmyra, or wherever we live in this surrounding area, and came and just completely destroyed everything, right? They took down this church, they took down the academy, they took down E.W. Thomas, they took down everything, right? We would be heartbroken. That's our home, right? That's where we grew up, that's where we live. They destroyed everything. And they were in this place of a trial in their life. And that's where they were. This author, he's trying to cope with this fact that God is sending judgment on his people because they're unfaithful. God's sending judgment on his people because he can't tolerate their sin. The author's trying to come to this realization of what's happening. And in the midst of all that, in the midst of the fact that this author's family has been taken away, and this author himself is in captivity, and this author's home has been destroyed, in the midst of all of that, he still says, "Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning." That's something that we need to learn. In the midst of our trials, we still need to be able to say, "Great is his faithfulness." Right? None of us, most likely, are ever going to go through, hopefully, what this author went through, right? We're not going to have our homes coming in and taken away by some foreign power, right? We're not going to go through that, but we each still go through our own trials. Maybe it's a financial trial. Maybe it's relationship issues. Maybe it's something at school, like we talked about with the youth group, something you're struggling with, marriage issues, whatever it is, we all go through trials in our life. And if you're like me, my first reaction when something bad happens in my life is I want to get mad at God, right? I want to say, "God, if you really cared about me, why would you let this happen to me? No, God, I really don't feel like serving you right now because you let this happen to me." But no, that's not the reaction that this author had. He still had the reaction that we're supposed to have. He said, "Great is his faithfulness." When these bad things happen in our lives, it's easy for us to start thinking that God doesn't care at all, or that he's just left us altogether. Right? It could be the death of a loved one, family sickness, financial problems, whatever it is. But even in the midst of all these trials, some big, some small, we all still need to remember that in the midst of those trials, that God is trying to teach us something. We still need to remember that what this verse teaches is that God is faithful. Church, I promise you, if God was faithful to this author, if God was faithful to his people of Israel during their time of punishment, during their time of losing everything they had ever known, if God was still faithful to them, if this author could still say, "Great is his faithfulness," then I promise you we can say that too. In the midst of our trials that we go through, we can still remember that God is faithful to us. The verse goes on to say that his mercies begin afresh each morning. And church, that's something I want to encourage you with. When you wake up every day, you start a day, remember, go to God and say, "God, this is a new day, and so are your mercies." Go to God, claim that new mercy in your life, claim his faithfulness in your life, no matter what you're going through. This verse teaches that God is faithful no matter what is happening. He is always with us, even when we're going through trials. So we've seen God is faithful in our trials. We've seen that from the book of Lamentations. Turn over in your Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter 78. Psalm 78. We're only going to read a few verses here. Psalm 78 is a really lengthy psalm, and it's something like 80-some verses, like off the top of my head, looking at it. Yeah, this 72 verses. So I'm not going to sit there and read the entire thing. Nobody wants that. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But essentially what this chapter in the book of Psalms is talking about, right? It's the author, and he's kind of like recapping. He's giving this recap of God's history with Israel and everything that, how he would bring them through something, and then immediately they would go back and they would forget about it. And that's kind of how the psalm, it kind of goes back and forth. I'm going to read the first four verses, just kind of give us an idea of what he's talking about. In Psalm 78, verse 1, he says, "O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories that we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." Okay, so that's the introduction to the psalm. And he's saying, look, we're going to remember everything that God has done for us in our past. That's what the whole passage is about. See, God, he did great things for his people. Yes, we just talked about how he had to punish them. But that's because they continually forsook him after he did amazing things for them. We can go all the way back to the time when he took them out of captivity when they were in Egypt, right? they were slaves in Egypt, and God, remember, he sent Moses, and he sent Moses and Aaron, he sent the 10 plagues, right? He sent all these ridiculous things that we think about, right? Bugs and darkness and turning the water to blood and all these things, these plagues on Israel that eventually it came to the climax of him having to kill the firstborn in Egypt who didn't have the blood on the post. And after that, Pharaoh, he let Israel go, right? And so certainly they were rejoicing, right? They were finally out of Egypt. They were rejoicing. And then they come to the Red Sea. And they say, well, great. Thanks, Moses. Now you let us out here just to go drown in the water. Awesome. Thanks. This is great. They know that Egypt is coming to chase after them, to recapture them again. And so already, just as they had been delivered out of Egypt, they start doubting God again. And then so what does God do? He uses Moses to part the sea and they cross through on dry ground. And then as soon as they get over, after trial, after trial, after trial, they keep doubting God. Even though God had already proven himself to be powerful, God had already proven himself to be faithful, yet every time that something came along, they would, whether it was an enemy, a land that they thought they couldn't take, right? Then they went and they saw the promised land and they said, oh, no, 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 there's giants. We can't do that. No, I know God. Yeah, you got us across the Red Sea and you did got us out of Egypt. We know you did all that, but there's no way we're going to take the promised land, right? Every single time they would find some excuse and they would find some type of reason why they couldn't trust God. And instead they would begin serving other gods, right? When Moses went to go get the Ten Commandments, right? They said, well, Moses has obviously left us. He's been gone for 40 days. So we're going to make this golden calf and worship that instead of God, right? That's how twisted they were. Right, that's how much they didn't trust God. And it's easy for us to sit up here and say, look how bad these people were. Right, God had been so good to them and they just couldn't see it. And if we're honest with ourselves, we are the exact same way. God has done so much for each person in here, whether we realize it or not. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ today, right, if you've trusted in Jesus as your only way to have salvation, if that's all you have and you live under a bridge and that's all you have, God has still done so much for you that we can't even explain it, right? God has saved us. He's given us material possessions, right? If you have a job today, you're doing better than a lot of people. If you have a job, you have material possessions. He's met our physical needs, and yet we still fail to trust God. Just like Israel did, we see everything that God has done for us in the past, that God does for us every day, and we still say, God, that's not enough. I just don't trust you. This passage reminds us, and when bad times come, we need to remind ourselves of what God has done in the past to remind us that God is faithful, right? So Israel, what they should have done, they should have, when they came to the Red Sea, they could have, looking hindsight 2020, right? We could see it and say, no, they should have seen that God just took them out of Egypt and that God can get them through the Red Sea, right? They can look back on God's faithfulness in their past and see that he's going to be faithful in the future. And it's the same way in our lives. I want to challenge each one of us. I know that we all have times in our life that we can look back and say, man, God really brought me through some stuff there, right? For me, when I was about 14, 13, my dad was diagnosed with cancer, right? And that was something that was kind of hard to understand as that age, but I could saw God work, right? Through all like the treatments and the surgeries and all that kind of stuff, that was God was working something in me, because now I can look back and I can say, God, you've been faithful, right? And then later on in life, going to a new school and not knowing anybody and saying, God, why is this happening? And then I can see, no, God, you've been faithful. You got me through that. Going off to college and everything that brings. And then I can look back now and say, no, God, you've been faithful, right? That's what we're called to do. I know each one of us in this room today, we all have those past experiences in our lives. Look back on those, cherish those, whether it's you have all these things that have happened to you, or maybe you just have your salvation you look back upon. Like that's some lesser thing. It's not. Look back on what God has done for you when you're going through a trial. When you're going through something, look back at what God has done for you in the past to be reminded that he is always faithful to you. That's what this psalm is about. And it shows us that that's what Israel wasn't doing. Israel was looking back at what God had done and they were just forgetting about it. They were looking back at what God had done. And they were telling him essentially, God, that's not enough. We need more than that. No, when you're going through a trial in your life, think back to what God has done and to see that he's been faithful in the past and he can be faithful in the future. And we've seen God is faithful in our trials God's faithful in our past. And then lastly today, we're going to look at how God is faithful in his forgiveness of us. If you have your Bible, turn back to 1 John 1:9. A really familiar verse, awesome verse that I love. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 9. It says, "But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness." So right there, we see exactly what this verse is getting at. We see the part that we're going to focus on. It says if we confess our sins to him, it says he is what? He is faithful to forgive us of our sins, right? So even though we're Christians, right, we identify with Jesus, we're believers in him, that's great. But guess what? We're still human beings. So that means we still have a sinful nature. That means we still sin every single day, all right? And that doesn't mean that God loves us less. It doesn't mean that God forgets about us or we need to be saved all over again whenever we sin. No. But it does mean that we need to go to God and confess that sin. When we sin, it's important that we confess our sin to God. This means that we go to God and we tell him that what we did was wrong. That's what confession is. I think a lot of times we have this idea that confession is like we just have this laundry list of bad stuff that we've done and we just read it off to God. Like, God, I stole today. God, I cheated today. God, I did this today. Whatever it is. But God already knows all that, right? That's the idea we have a confession. But God already knows what you did. Right, what God wants, what the word confess means, is to go to God and to agree with him. That's what it literally means in the original language, is to say the same thing as, to agree with, right? So when we confess our sin to God, it's not us going to God and telling him, look, God, I got mad and I cussed my boss out today. God, no. Okay, God knows you did that, right? What God wants you to say is, God, I agree with you. That was wrong for me to do that. That's what confession is. Right? Think about someone like David, right? We talked about this in youth group a few weeks ago too. David and Bathsheba, right? David, he sinned with Bathsheba and he lusted after her and took her as his wife when she wasn't his. And they conceived the child and David was trying to cover it up. So he sent Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, out and tried to cover it up. It wouldn't work. Nothing he was trying was working. So eventually he had Uriah killed in battle, right? Strategically placed him on the front lines and then dipped so that he would be killed. And David thought he had done it, right? He's like, I covered up my sin. I did good. Nobody knows about it. But we know God knew about it, right? So God sent the prophet Nathan. And Nathan came to him and explained to him. He gave him this parable and he said, you know, there was a rich man, right, who had all these sheep, all these cattle. And there was a poor man who had one sheep, and that poor man treated that one sheep like his own child. He loved that sheep. And when the rich man had a guest come, you know, he went and took that poor man's one sheep to kill and feed to his guest, even though he had all these thousands of sheep. And David was furious. And David said, oh, that's horrible. That man needs to pay him back and this and that. And then Nathan looked at him and said, David, that's you. Right? That's what you did. And right then, David realized that his sin was known. David realized his sin. And David, what did he do? He confessed it to God. He was tired of running from God. You go and look at it sometime in the book of Psalms, chapter 51. That's David's confession of God. That's David's broken heart over his sin. And that night needs to be our attitude. That's what confession is. It's not just us telling God, look, God, yeah, I did that. Yes, he knows that. No, you need to go to God in agreement with him that what you did was wrong, because that shows a true change of heart that he's looking for. When we confess our sin, God does exactly what the verse says in 1 John 1:9. It says that he's faithful and he's just to forgive us of our sins. So he's faithful. That's what we're talking about today, is his faithfulness to us. God is always going to be faithful to forgive you of your sin. No matter how many times you mess up, no matter how many times you fail God, everybody has their own sins that they struggle with, right? Those sins that seem to always just, no matter how much you put it off, it just always comes back and gets the best of you, right? For everybody, it's different. Some people, it's anger, right? You just can't quite control it. You just can't help but say something that you shouldn't say. For some people, it's lust. You just can't help but take that second look. For some people, it's greed. You can't help it. You always want just a little bit more. Or it's jealousy. Or it's whatever it is. Fill in the blank. You know your own heart. right? But for everybody that's different, we all struggle with different things, but guess what? God is always going to be faithful to us to forgive that sin. Now, that's two sides of that coin. It doesn't mean that we can just go around and live in sin all the time, because God's going to forgive us, right? If I struggle with anger, that doesn't mean I can just go and lash out at everybody that ticks me off. No. The book of Romans says that we live in sin, that grace may abound. No, God forbid. By no means. We can't do that. That's not how that works. No, God's forgiveness, God's faithfulness, God's mercy, God's forgiveness to us should motivate us to live a holy life. That should motivate us to live a life that's free from sin. That's what His mercy and His faithfulness is for, is to motivate us to live that holy and that pure life. And that's what Jesus died for. When He said He's faithful and He's just to forgive us of our sin, right? He's just to be able to do that. He's right to be able to forgive us of our sins. Why? Because Jesus on that cross took every sin that we've committed, every sin that you've committed over and over again, Jesus took that on the cross and He took the punishment for that. Because of those sins that you commit, each and every single one of them, from the first one to the last one, they all warrant you death. That's what you deserve. That's what we deserve, is death for that sin. But because Jesus lived the perfect life that we can never live and died on the cross, right? We are now free from that punishment because Jesus took our place. That's why the verse says He's not only faithful, He'll do it every time, but He's just. He can rightly forgive us because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. That's what Jesus died for. I want to encourage you today, church, if there's sin in your life and you're like David, where you've been trying to cover it up, right? You've been trying to think, no, it's fine. It's really, it's okay. It's no big deal. No, go to God and confess it. Don't let that rift be in that relationship between you and God. Go to God and confess that sin. Go to God and say, God, I did this and it was wrong. God, I agree with you, God. This was wrong. And just like the verse says, He's going to be faithful to you. He's faithfully going to forgive you just like His word says He will. I want to encourage you, you have that sin in your life, go to Him and confess it today. Don't keep struggling with that any longer. As we're about to wrap up today, as the choir comes back up, we're going to go ahead and start trying to wrap this up. We've seen God's faithfulness in our lives today. We've seen that God is faithful in our trials, just like we saw with the children of Israel. When their country was taken over and their city was taken over, everything they knew, everything they loved was taken away from them. They were in a trial in their life. We saw that, just like the author said, great is His faithfulness. We've seen that God is faithful in our trials. We've seen that God has been faithful in our past, right? Just like the children of Israel, God was faithful to them through their entire history. God had done all these events for them, and He was faithful to them. And God's done the same thing in our life. We all have events, we all have experiences of God's faithfulness, and we need to be encouraged and challenged to look back at those events of His faithfulness in our past. So God's been faithful in our trials. He's been faithful in our past. And lastly, God is faithful to forgive us. We just saw that in 1 John 1:9, that if we'll go to God and agree with Him about our sin, that He's been faithful to forgive us every single time. You don't ever have to worry about, oh, I've confessed this, I've told God this too many times. No, that's what God's there for. He's faithful to forgive you. I want to challenge all of us today, each and every single one of us, as we get ready to close today. As faithful as God is to us, I want to challenge each and every one of us this week, and really if we can make it a purpose the rest of our lives, to live with that same faithfulness, that same devotion, that same commitment to God as He has to us. God is always there for us. His mercies are new every morning. His faithfulness is great. So let's live with that same faithfulness to God as He has to us. I'll be down here in the front if you need someone to pray with. You can pray where you're at, whatever it is, whatever God lays on your heart. And then we'll go ahead and conclude the service.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.